Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the day of Pentecost, a day to celebrate the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit, which brings up an important question that we want to be able to answer, and that is, who is the Holy Spirit? I mean, for a lot of people, it's difficult for people to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And our three scripture passages today, the gospel lesson from John 16, the Old Testament from Ezekiel 37, and our epistle lesson from Acts 2, do such a beautiful job of informing us exactly who the Holy Spirit is and why he is such a blessing in our lives. And that's what I want to share with you today. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, Scripture teaches us that, first and foremost, that the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but there aren't three gods. There is one God. Our God is three in one triune, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, which is also an important point. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He is not some impersonal force. He is a person. And he is a person who loves you. He is your counselor, your comforter, your teacher, your guide, and your friend. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The third person of the Trinity who loves you and gives you faith. So, what I want to share with you is, based on our three Bible lessons today, who the Holy Spirit is. Starting with the gospel lesson, John chapter 16, where we learn that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Then we'll move on to our Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel 37, where we see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And finally, we'll finish with our epistle lesson, Acts chapter 2, in which we see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. He is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, and he is the Spirit of power. Let's start with our gospel lesson, John chapter 16, where he is referred to as the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So, as I said before, the Holy Spirit is your friend, your best friend, because he loves you more than anybody, along with God the Father and God the Son. What makes a good friend? You know, a lot of times, especially when we're younger, we think our best friends are the people who make us feel good, make us feel good about ourselves. And I can understand why we think like that, but there's a problem with that definition. Lots of people who really don't care about you at all will say and tell you anything you want to hear. In fact, that's what the world is constantly doing through media and through its advertising. It's always trying to sell you stuff, telling you exactly what you want to hear, not for your own good, but in order to sell you something, in order to make themselves richer. No, your best friend is not the person who makes you feel good. No, I think a better definition, your best friend is the person who tells you the truth. The truth you need to hear. Your best friends are the ones who tell you that which you don't want to hear. Things like, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, work hard, work harder. Say you're sorry. Forgive that person. All things we need to hear at various times in our life. All things that only the people who love us will tell us. That's why for many of us, some of our best friends are our parents. They were the ones who were honest with us and told us not what we wanted to hear, but what we needed to hear. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that. He's your best friend because he tells you exactly what you need to hear through his word. He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says that the Spirit of truth comes to convict us.
John 16, verse 8. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Spirit of truth convicts the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. How does he do that? Well, through his word, especially through the law of God. The Holy Spirit uses the law of God like a mirror so we can see ourselves clearly. The law of God is summed up in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments show us how sinful we really are. The first table tells us how to love God. The second table tells us how to love other people. The truth is, we don't do either of those very well, and we certainly don't do it perfectly. We don't put God first. We use God's name in vain and use vulgar language. We don't respect God's word or love God's word the way we should. We don't honor our parents. We hurt people through our actions and through our words. We have immoral thoughts and speak immoral words. We fall into greed. We fall into dishonesty. We fall into envy and covetousness. We sin against God in our thoughts, words, and deeds. We fall short. And the Holy Spirit, loving us the way he does, tells us the truth. He holds up the mirror of God's law and points out our sin. He also tells us the penalty for sin. Ezekiel 18, verse 20 says, "The soul who sins shall die." The wages of sin is death, right? It's a grim truth, but it's a truth we need to hear. The Holy Spirit warns us against bringing judgment and death upon ourselves. So we need more than just truth. We need life. And thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of truth, he is also the Spirit of life. And of course, that is illustrated so beautifully in our Old Testament lesson today. You know, in the Nicene Creed, we confess that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. And in our Old Testament lesson, the Valley of Dry Bones, we see the Holy Spirit giving life, even to the dead. Yep, the Old Testament lesson is Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about the song, aren't you? Them bones, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. You can thank me later. Ezekiel 37 is an amazing testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel is taken to a valley of dry bones, probably an old battle site where the dead were never properly buried. Their bones are dry, which means they've been there a long time. They've been dead a long time. And God asks Ezekiel what seems like a crazy question. I mean, he says, "Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live?" Ezekiel does what so many of us do when we are faced with a question we can't answer. We dodge it. We turn it back on the questioner. Lord, you know, don't you? God tells Ezekiel, "Prophesy, and they will live. Speak my word to them, and these bones will live." Well, Ezekiel listens to the Lord, and he starts preaching. And the bones miraculously begin to assemble themselves, bone to bone. And then Ezekiel watches in amazement as the bones are covered with sinew and tissue and muscles and skin. But no breath, they are not yet alive. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy again. And at that prophecy, at that word, the Spirit of God, the breath of God enters into them, and those dead bones come to life. Standing before Ezekiel, a vast army given life by the Spirit of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is the Lord and giver of life. Ezekiel 37:14 says, "I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live." He is the Lord and giver of life. But he doesn't just give physical life. He also gives spiritual life. And that kind of life is the most important kind of life of all. The Holy Spirit takes people who were dead spiritually and makes them alive. How does he do that? The same way he made that army come alive, by the power of God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit literally brings the spiritually dead back to life. That's what happened to us. We were at one time spiritually dead, and the Holy Spirit, by the power of word and sacrament, created faith in us and brought us spiritual life. And this spiritual life that he gives to us is not a few short decades on earth, but eternal life with the Lord in heaven. It's a life that we cannot earn by our own efforts or by our own goodness. It is the gift of God through the faith given by the Holy Spirit. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is not only the Spirit of truth, he is also the Spirit of life. And as we see in our epistle lesson from the book of Acts, he is also the Spirit of power. Which brings us to the miracle that we're celebrating today. The miracle of Pentecost. Jesus had promised his disciples that he would send the Spirit. And in fact, he made some incredible promises about the Spirit. He said that the Spirit would fill them with incredible power. Luke 24:49, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then right before his ascension, the very last words we have recorded that Jesus said to his disciples, Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus promises that he will send his Holy Spirit, and he is the Spirit of power. They will be filled with power like they have never seen before. Finally, on Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, the disciples received the Spirit of power just as Jesus promised. Acts 2 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Wow, that's amazing. What a display of power. What kind of power did the disciples receive through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power? They felt a rushing wind, a powerful wind. So did they gain the power to control the weather so they could literally blow their opponents away? No, that is not what they received. Tongues of fire rested on their heads. Did they get the power to call fire down from heaven so it would burn up their enemies? No. No, the miracle that the mighty Holy Spirit performs on that incredible day of Pentecost is not a miracle of destruction. Remember, he is the Lord and giver of life. He is not the Lord and giver of death. The miracle that the Holy Spirit performs is not a miracle of destruction. It is a miracle of communication. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a miracle of communication, and that should tell us all we need to know about the Holy Spirit. See, people from all over the world are there for Pentecost, from all over creation, who all speak different languages. But the amazing thing about Pentecost is that they all hear the apostles preach to them in their own language. The apostles are preaching in their own language, but the Holy Spirit is performing a miracle, so each of them hears their own language, and hears and understands the gospel of Jesus Christ. People from all over the world, Parthians, Medes, Persians, Pennsylvanians. Wait, no, there weren't any Pennsylvanians there. People from Crete, people from Egypt, people from Arabia. All of them hear the apostles in their own language. What an incredible miracle, a miracle of communication, because the God, the Holy Spirit, more than anything, wants to communicate with people. He wants to communicate to them the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit uses his power in two main ways. First of all, to save people. Second of all, to change people's lives for the better. The first one we call justification, conversion. And that's what happens on Pentecost. As Acts 2:21, Peter preaches, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The apostles preach, and that night 3,000 people believe in the Lord. That night 3,000 people are baptized. That night 3,000 people are saved from death and hell and brought into the kingdom of God. That is the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. He saves people, and then he changes people for the better. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." By the power of his word, the Holy Spirit saves people and changes their lives for the better. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Holy Spirit loves everyone, and so he is constantly working through word and sacrament to help people. He is working through word and sacrament by which he creates saving faith in the hearts of people. And through word and sacrament, he changes our lives for the better, filling us with his love and his joy and his peace. That's who he is. He is our best friend. He is the blessed Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of power. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.